fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African boxing. Nigerian prize fighter Efe Ajagba is earning headlines for his power, athleticism, and undefeated record. The 24-year-old Ajagba stopped American Amir Mansour in two rounds 3 days ago near Los Angeles, California. The victory improved Efe's pro record to a perfect 9-0. In the first round, Ajagba knocked Mansour to the canvas twice. Efe kept pounding away in round two before the referee waved the bout over. And here are a few fun facts about Efe Ajagba, who Nnamdi Hollywood Maweda describes as the hottest heavyweight prospect in the fight game today. Efe is from Ugele in Delta State, Nigeria. Efe says when he was in Ugele, he used to cut firewood, and he also worked in a bakery. Efe Ajagba says his first love was football, but after some disappointments, a friend suggested he switch to boxing because of his height and strength. At the international level, Efe won a bronze medal in boxing for Nigeria at the 2014 Commonwealth Games in Glasgow, Scotland, and the following year, Efe won a gold medal at the All-Africa Games in Congo, Brazzaville. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Maweda, caught up with Efe Ajagba after his victory over Amir Mansour. Here's Nnamdi.
Congratulations for a good fight tonight.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, I appreciate it.
How you feel going for your first 8-rounder, stopping a veteran like Amir Mansour?
I said this before, like, I'm going to stop Amir Mansour, anyone. When I missed my job, I told everybody, like, I'm going to use my job on him. I put my right hand because Amir Mansour, like, does a half job. The only powerful, like, the powerful right hand he has, like, is the right hook. Because I didn't give him the space, I didn't give him a chance to think. So that's why I keep pushing on him. That's why I want to fight.
Was it very difficult for you fighting him as a southpaw, because he's a southpaw?
It's not difficult for me to, you know, I train a lot when he taught me how to fight, how to fight southpaw, you know, because it's not my first time to fight, I mean myself as a southpaw, because I fought southpaw way back in the Olympics, so everything is like, it's easy for me, you know. Because I mean, Mansour has experience, but me, I have the Olympic experience. So that's why people was thinking like, I mean, Mansour has an experience. So I use more experience than what I need, because that's the boxing.
Efe, you are 9-0 now. You're scoring all these knockouts. What did you learn tonight?
I learned some stuff because, you know, when I start a knockout, I'm looking forward to the next fight, to a big fight, you know. When I knock Amir Mansour out, because people didn't stop Amir Mansour. Because they stop Amir Mansour and stoppage. Because I'm the only guy that's knocked Amir Mansour out. Because, you know, I'm looking forward to the big fight. Because anybody I want to fight right now, it's going to be a trouble.
When do we expect to see you in the ring again?
Hopefully, I'm going to fight May 18th.
Where?
Like maybe Las Vegas or New York or somewhere.
You must be very happy with your progress now. 9-0 with all these knockouts. Nobody has gone the distance with you. What makes you feel stronger as a heavyweight?
Of course, you know, I got a natural power, you know, everything. Where I came from, I came from Nigeria, I came from home, you know. So God gave us a natural power. It's not everybody that has natural power, you know. I'm very impressive for this stoppage fight, but I'm against Amir Mansour because I'm so happy, you know, because it's a stepping stone for me to keep forward, to look forward for the next fight. So when I win the next fight, I come up, become the heavyweight champion of the world. More time.
With this performance tonight, where you knock this guy out, when we go see you challenge for that world title?
Maybe more fights. Maybe one or two or three of fights. If I still knock out like that, then from there, I could move up to Taiwan to become another heavyweight contender to challenge for any belt.
Well, this one, now your first 8 rounds, you do well. You do well. Now, big knockout for you for Amir Mansour. Congratulations, my brother.
Thank you very much.
That's undefeated Nigerian heavyweight prize fighter Efe Ajagba. And Efe was talking with Namdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics near Los Angeles, California. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Efe Ajagba mentioned how he trains with American Ronnie Shields. Namdi asked, Ronnie, what did Efe Ajagba learn with his victory over Amir Mansour?
He just learned that he can compete with the best fighters in the world. Mm-hmm. That this was supposed to be a step-up fight for him. And he knows he's better than that right now. Mm-hmm. So Amir Mansour has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, but Efe just too big and too strong for him. Mm-hmm. And so Efe realized that, going into this fight, people were saying that Amir was going to beat him, but he just showed everybody what type of fighter he is.
What should we expect in the next? When is he going to go into the ring again?
Well, hopefully soon. Okay. hopefully within a month. Within a month or two.
So you must be happy with his progress.
Oh, I'm very happy with his progress. Okay. He worked very hard. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't take anybody lightly. Mm-hmm. So he takes his time, mm-hmm. he places his punches well, and as you've seen tonight, when he hits you, you're definitely going to go down.
Congratulations, Coach.
Thank you very much.
That's American boxing trainer Ronnie Shields, who is working with undefeated Nigerian heavyweight Efe Ajagba. And Ronnie was talking with Namdi Hollywood Moeta, our reigning prince of pugilistics near Los Angeles, California. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In the main event of that fight card near Los Angeles, American Sean Showtime Porter retained his WBC heavyweight title with a 12-round split decision victory over Cuban challenger Yordanis Ugas. One judge had Porter winning 116 to 112. Another had Porter in front 115 to 113. And the third judge had Ugas, the Cuban, winning 117 to 111. With the winner, Sean Showtime Porter improved his pro record to 30 wins, 2 losses, and 1 draw with 17 knockouts. Ugas now has a record of 23 victories and 4 defeats with 11 knockouts. Namdi Moeta has talked about how competitive the welterweight division is in the fight game. Well, there will be another world welterweight title fight on Saturday near Dallas, Texas. Errol Spence will defend his IBF title belt against fellow American Mickey Garcia.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It was just more than 48 years ago, on March 8, 1971, that Muhammad Ali suffered his first professional loss in the boxing ring. The late, great Ali was beaten by his longtime rival, Smokin' Joe Frazier, with the judges awarding Smokin' Joe a unanimous 15-round decision. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Adam Phillips looks back on the big bout at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Ali was ready to regain his world heavyweight title by fighting Joe Frazier. Smokin' Joe had earned the heavyweight title in elimination bouts after Ali's belt was stripped from him. The Ali-Frazier fight was touted as the fight of the century. It would determine which of those two undefeated champs could claim the belt. True to form, Ali played the reporters by taunting and insulting Frazier. Here's one example among many.
Joe Frazier's so ugly, his face should be donated to the Bureau of Wildlife.
Many thought Ali was angry at Joe Frazier, but that wasn't true in the opinion of Madison Square Garden photographer George Kalinske. Kalinske was a trusted friend who snapped photos of the fighter in public and behind the scenes for nearly 50 years. Many of those pictures are now on exhibit at the New York Historical Society.
When he talked about Joe Frazier, what he was really doing is being the showman, the performer, the entertainer to promote the fight. He said, if I sold tickets, then I did my work.
Prior to the fight, Kalinske shot several rolls of Ali and Frazier in Frazier's Philadelphia gym. In a first, Kalinske asked them to put their heads together and to lock eyes in an attitude of barely contained fury. Then came the sparring.
And Joe hits Ali so hard in the stomach that Ali actually went down, and I couldn't believe this, that here I have my own fight going on with them. I start to help Muhammad Ali up, and he's looking at Joe Frazier, and he said, you son of a gun can really punch. And Joe Frazier looks at Ali, and he said, that's the way it's going to be the night of the fight. You're going down.
Indeed, Ali lost the so-called fight of the century marquee matchup in 15 rounds. It was the first defeat of his professional career. Undaunted, he then fought boxing great Ken Norton. Norton broke Ali's jaw, handing the erstwhile greatest a second stinging defeat. Again, Jeffrey Sammons of New York University.
And many people thought that that might be the end of Ali's career. And that's also the allure of Ali, that he's able to come back from the brink, from adversity. And he would beat Ken Norton in a rematch, and Joe Frazier would not give Ali a shot at the championship. And Joe Frazier loses his crown to George Foreman, who was enormous and hulking and just destroyed Joe Frazier in two bouts.
George Foreman, now the heavyweight champion himself, did accept Ali's challenge. Ali was heavily favored to lose. The boxing world readied itself for a colossal contest between the two men. It was set for Kinshasa in the former Zaire, now called the Democratic Republic of Congo. Ali called the contest the Rumble in the Jungle.
I think it was speaking to the historic role that Ali had played in terms of black nationalism, black pride.
Almost from the beginning, the African public favored Muhammad Ali over George Foreman. Sammons explains part of the cause.
George Foreman made the serious mistake of taking a German police dog with him to Zaire. And this dog symbolized oppression and white colonialism. So George Foreman became persona non grata. And there was this famous French chant by kids and others, Ali Bumbaye, Ali kill him.
In private, Ali lacked confidence. He spontaneously came to call on his friend, the photographer George Kalinske, at his office.
And I said, what's going on? He said, well, I'm fighting George Foreman in Zaire. He's too big, he's too strong, he's too fast, he's too young, he's too quick, he's too big. There's no way I can beat him in this fight.
Kalinske says he thought about it for a moment, then came up with a strategy that would become an Ali hallmark.
I said, you know, Muhammad, all your life you've been training for this fight, but you didn't know it. Whenever I saw you working out, which are many, many times working out in the gym with your sparring partner, what you do is you lean against the ropes and you let your sparring partner hit you and hit you and hit you. What you do the night of the fight is the same thing. You lean against the ropes, just let them swing away, and you act like a dope on the ropes, like you're sick, like you're not well. And eventually he's going to tire himself out. Then you knock him out. He said, you mean you want me to be a rope-a-dope? I said, okay, we'll call it rope-a-dope. And that's what happened when he fought George Foreman.
The fight took place in a football stadium under the moon. It was a brutal contest. but Ali sent Foreman to the floor in the eighth round and reclaimed his heavyweight title.
Muhammad Ali has done it! The great man has done it!
As ecstatic fans streamed to the ring, the commentator, David Frost, crowed, "The great man has done it! This is the most joyous scene in the history of boxing." For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm VOA's Adam Phillips in New York.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, former world record holder Wilson Kipsang of Kenya is training for next month's London Marathon. Wilson warmed up for the big race on Sunday in the British capital, where he finished sixth among the men in the London Big Half Marathon, clocking 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 7 seconds. Britain's four-time Olympic champion on the track, Mo Farah, won the half marathon in 1 hour, 1 minute, and 15 seconds. The energetic Andy Edwards talked with Wilson Kipsang after Sunday's race. Here's Andy.
Well, Wilson Kipsang, how did today's race in the London half marathon set you up or give you an idea of how you would be performing in the London Marathon in about 6 weeks? So what are your impression of today's race?
Yeah, I think today's race was really very nice, and this being my first time to this big half, it's nice course, although the weather was a bit challenging because there was a lot of wind, but on my side I think it's really something good that I've really got an opportunity to test myself, and I can see my body's responding very well, lots of endurance, just to go and work on the speed.
You weren't up with the leading three runners. Was it that you were running, in a sense, your own race and you take away this time and this performance and say that's a good base for the full marathon?
Yeah, I think at first it was a bit fast. And I realized that some of these guys are still fresh from track and they are still very fast. So I decided to run my race and try to make sure that I keep my pace constant, which I know that if it could be a marathon, I could really run very well.
What do you think you're capable of in London, the London Marathon, April 28th? What do you think you can do?
For me, I trust myself. I think for the remaining 5 weeks, I'm going to work on my speed and work on my endurance very well. And I think I'm really in a position to run a good time. Yeah, I'm hoping to run maybe a 2:3 or 2:4.
Well, that would be certainly very good. The whole world of distance running has had time to digest Eliud Kipchoge's world record in Berlin. Of course, you were there finishing third. Has that affected in any way how you prepare yourself, your training, and indeed your racing in London, that achievement of Eliud's?
I think the level of competition in marathon now is becoming more competitive and becoming more fast. You can see many races, people are running 2:5, 2:4, 2:3. So you have to prepare myself in a way that for I to compete and to beat those guys, I have to prepare myself very well.
Wilson, all the best for London Marathon. Thank you for today. Thank you, Wilson Kipsang.
Thank you so much.
That's Kenyan athlete Wilson Kipsang, the former world record holder in the marathon. And Wilson spoke with the energetic Andy Edwards in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with African athletics, a teenage runner whose parents are from South Sudan made a big name for herself recently at the USA Track and Field Indoor Championships near New York City. Picking up the story, here's Ayen Deng Bior.
Athing Mo, a 16-year-old from Trenton, New Jersey, whose parents are South Sudanese immigrants, set a national high school record in the first round of the women's indoor 600 meters with a time of 1 minute, 26 seconds, and 23 milliseconds. According to Amsterdam News, that time resulted in four new significant marks. Mo set a record for the 600-meter high school national record, the American record, the U18 record, and world junior record. Amsterdam News reports Mo was just 0.14 seconds off from setting the discipline's world record, but still managed to run the second fastest 600 ever. But Mo says she wasn't thinking of breaking any records when she stepped on the track February 24th, and she believes this is just the beginning of her athletic career.
My future goals are to become an Olympian one day, And also, I hope to pursue my dreams of becoming also a pro athlete in track and field. And for just ending this season, I really just want to, I'm just running an 800 left. So I just want to PR, like, you know, make a personal record and run my fast time yet.
Mo's approach to running is simple. Stay calm and keep your composure.
My main focus was to just try and really execute the race and just run any other way how I just run, rather than just me think about how much bigger of the competition I'm running with, because I was running with pros. I just wanted to stay calm and just relax and kind of just do my thing and let my legs do all of the work and just keep focused on what I want to do.
Like a lot of her peers, Mo does not have a driver's license. You have to be 17 in New Jersey to qualify for one. She wears orthodontic braces and listens to the likes of Bruno Mars and Cardi B.
I think I'm pretty jolly. I'm like, I'd call myself a little kid. I don't really do much. Well, I'm part of a volunteer club in my school and also student council. And on the side, with my best friend, we kind of just have like a YouTube channel where we just goof around and sing covers. So I guess I'm like an average teen.
I have a feeling that this isn't the last time that we're going to hear from you.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
You say that with confidence.
I mean, you can't really just like do something like this and then just kind of die down. I feel like you have to keep a smooth train rolling. So that's kind of my plan.
Ayen Dengbior, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Ayen. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the Houston Rockets won their ninth consecutive game, the league's longest current winning streak, with a win over the visiting Charlotte Hornets. The AP's Adam Spillane reports from Houston, Texas.
James Harden scored 28 points as the Houston Rockets won their ninth straight game, beating the Charlotte Hornets 118-106. Harden shot just 7 of 21 from the field, but he made 11 of 12 free throws while adding 10 assists. Harden liked the way his team played.
We started off the game really well. We got off to a big lead. Everybody was involved defensively. We were active. We let up a little bit in that third quarter. They made a run, which we knew we were going to make a run, but we held our composure. They tried to throw in some traps and, you know, get us to play fast.
Eric Gordon added 22 points, and Clint Capella chipped in 19 points and 15 rebounds. Kemba Walker led all scorers with 40 points on 14 of 20 shooting, but the loss drops the Hornets to 30-37. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With that win at home, the Rockets improved their record to 42 wins and 25 losses, good enough for third place in the NBA's Western Conference. The Rockets are 2 games behind the Denver Nuggets and 3.5 games behind the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. Now let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah, where the Oklahoma City Thunder scored a road victory. The AP's Ben Anderson reports from Salt Lake City.
The Oklahoma City Thunder beat the Utah Jazz 98-89 in Salt Lake City and swept the season series with the Jazz 4-0. The Thunder held the Jazz to just 36% shooting from the floor and 30% from the three on 43 three-point attempts. Six-man Dennis Schroeder paced the Thunder with 24 points off the bench, but it was Russell Westbrook who drew the ire of Jazz fans after a verbal altercation with a husband and wife during the game.
How it started was a young man and his wife in the stands told me to get in on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful.
The Thunder moved into the 4th seed in the Western Conference, while the Jazz slipped to 8th. Ben Anderson, Salt Lake City.
Thanks, Ben. The Utah Jazz issued a post-game statement saying they'll be investigating the incident between Russell Westbrook and the fans. The Jazz says if it's determined any of the fans violated the NBA code of conduct, appropriate action will be taken. And we'll be following that story right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. And that wraps up the March 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with the Vice President of Malawi, Saulos Chilema. The Malayan politician and VOA's Shaka Sali discuss democracy and the upcoming elections. An in-depth look at Malawi's future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists with the LAMP, or Lyman Alpha Mapping Project, report that they have detected water molecules moving around on the surface of the light side of the moon. LAMP is an instrument on NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter. LAMP scientists at the Southwest Research Institute in Texas found that the water molecules normally cling to lunar soil or tiny rocks at night and most of the day. When temperatures on the moon's surface hits its peak around midday, the water molecules are released and then hop around the moon's surface until they find a nearby location cold enough for them to stick to materials, or they rise into the moon's very thin atmosphere. When temperatures drop, those molecules fall back to the surface and again cling on to lunar material. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour. Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.